You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to Tuesday. What do we name this? It's like, okay, so what is it?
Camel Eve.
What is it? We got what?
Camel Eve.
It's Camel Eve.
Yeah, Camel Eve.
That's right, Camel Eve. Some referred to it as Taco Tuesday, which of course meant that Charlene and I had tacos that time. But nonetheless, welcome to Tuesday. We're glad you're here. And that was Boomer on the board. Hey, buddy.
That's me.
How are you?
I'm good.
I'm glad.
Thanks.
We got a good show laid on for you. 3 o'clock today. Been on the show with us many times. You guys know who he is. Mike Durant. Former special operations aviator, a well-respected businessman, and a past candidate for the U.S. Senate is going to be on with us because we're going to be talking about some stuff going on in Gaza. And folks, they're saying this could be one of the biggest urban battles in 100 years. And this is no fooling. And we're going to talk about it with him because if anybody knows what it's like to go into the urban environment to conduct warfare, Mike Durant would be one of those guys. So, yeah, Mike Durant, 3 o'clock. We're going to talk about it from his military background. Stay tuned for that. And then I got a triple dipper, so hit it, buddy.
The triple dipper. 3 stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper. 3 stories, 3 themes, if you will. You got to know as we run today's show. Number one, right out the gate, I'm calling it kicking the anthill. That's what it's like in the urban environment. I can just tell you from Baghdad, in the urban environment, if something happens, all of a sudden people are spilling out of doors, running down alleys, things are happening, fast moving, trying to keep track. It's like kicking an anthill. Well, that's what Gaza's about to be. I mean, picture this. They've got 2 million people in a space that is one-third the size of Huntsville. Can you imagine? 2 million people in a space that's one-third the size of Huntsville. Well, we're gonna talk about what that means for urban warfare, what Israel may be looking at, what some of the experts are saying. Yeah, number one, triple dipper, kicking the anthill. And number two, there is breaking news going on. It's going to be part of our dipper. What's going on with the race for the U.S. House of Representatives Speaker of the House? Well, there have been some developments. There have already been some votes. We're still working the issue. Let's put it that way. But number two on the triple dipper is the speaker's race. So stay tuned for that. And then number three, got to stay focused on where we live, right? So at this point, I've got international, then I've got national, now we're bringing it home. Number three on the triple dipper, we'll look at what's going on right here in your neighborhood. Home fries, going to cook up a batch of home fries for the day. So stay tuned for that one as number three on the triple dipper is about home fries. All right, let me jump over here to my comments for the day. The opening monologue, the Right Side Way, and I'll remind you guys, we are extremely grateful that Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics all across North Alabama, Southern Immediate Care is a sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. They are open 7 days a week. They will see all ages. And folks, I'm just telling you, they are professional, solid, clean. Just basically, they're going to be there for you if you need them 7 days a week. Southern Immediate Care, sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. So here's my opening. You ready? You may have seen recently that Joe Biden had to eat his words on the border wall. Oh, how about that? For years, Biden has said that anything Trump did was bad. He especially eschewed the idea of building a wall. Well, during his presidential campaign in 2020, Biden promised there would not be another foot built of the wall if he was elected. On his first day in the Oval Office, Biden rescinded Trump's executive orders on border wall construction. His, like, hapless Secretary of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, recently said that the administration still does not believe that a border wall is the answer. And then, lo and behold, they had an epiphany. The clouds parted, and Mayorkas said, quote, "There is presently an acute and immediate need to construct physical barriers and roads in the vicinity of the border of the United States in order to prevent unlawful entries into the United States." Holy cow, can someone please ring a bell? I mean, they've tried to blame it on budgeting processes that kept the money dedicated so they had no choice but to spend it. Sure, that's what happened, because Biden is such a rule follower. What really happened here, though, was that the administration actually finally began to hear a bipartisan ruckus rising up from citizens and local leaders who were just plain old fed up. And it happened that this poor policy decision that they had made received such a public outcry that even the usual tone-deaf Biden administration had to do something. You see, that's what happens when good people speak out. So one of my favorite passages in the Bible is in 1 Samuel 14. It's an awesome story. I have read it, dissected it, gone over it in different translations, reviewed what commentaries have to say on it. I mean, there's so many lessons in that one passage. But despite how many times I've reviewed that same passage, I found on one occasion recently that my attention was drawn to two verses, verses 45 and 46. You see, just prior to that point that I'm talking about, King Saul's son Jonathan had galvanized a beleaguered and depressed nation of Israel. The Israelites were hiding in their caves from the Philistines, but Jonathan, he was a warrior, and he sparked some life back into the Israelite army by picking a fight and winning. His father, King Saul, was already in the process of losing his grip on the throne. He had kind of gotten out of hand with some bad decisions, and sure enough, King Saul just kept making bad policy decisions. Awful, bad public policy. At one point, King Saul decided it'd be a great idea to make the sudden and reckless pronouncement that nobody would have a single bite to eat until they had wiped out the Philistines. Well, I'm sure it sounded cool sitting around the fireside with his generals, but troops go into battle without rations? Well, it got worse when it became a sustained battle that took on several days. The army was getting winded, but the king's bad policy decision was still in front of him. The only one who had not gotten the word because he was too busy actually fighting the Philistines was King Saul's son, Jonathan, the same hero who had inspired the battle itself. And sure enough, Jonathan came upon a beehive, and he dipped his sword down in the honeycomb, and he ate the honey. Well, that became a whole thing. I mean, really, there he was, Jonathan, the hero of the nation, unaware of a stupid and rash policy decision that did nothing to achieve victory, by the way. He's focused on winning. But when his father, King Saul, found out, he pronounced that his own son would now have to die for violating the king's edict. The king actually stopped the battle. He quit pursuing the enemy, who were already on the run, just to deal with his son having a bite of honey on the battlefield. Well, you can imagine how that went over. The people were beside themselves. They respected their king, but they loved Jonathan. He was their hero. Everyone knew it was a bad policy decision, but no one had issued a contrary word of counsel to the king when he proclaimed it. They just all went, "Okay, king." But now Jonathan's life was on the line, and the people, well, the people, they had had enough. So in 1 Samuel 14, verses 45 and 46, the people made themselves heard, and they did so very clearly. The direct quote from a modern translation of the Bible says this in verse 45. It says, "But the troops retorted, 'Jonathan, who saved Israel today, shall die? Far from it. We vow by the life of God that not one hair on his head will be touched, for he has been used of God to do a mighty miracle today.' So the people rescued Jonathan," it says. "And then Saul called back the army, and the Philistines returned home." That's the verses. Let me paraphrase that for you. The troops retorted, it says. A retort is a stiff reply. It's really like almost belligerent or argumentative. They were not taking this up for debate. They basically said, "Well, by God, that's not going to happen. He's the reason we had a victory. You're not touching a hair on his head. He's the only one among us who's been in God's will all along." And then it said, Saul just quit the battle and let the Philistines just go home. You see, here's the thing. Here's what got my attention. When I keyed in on that passage, I know that leaders sometimes make bad decisions. Stuff happens. You make a decision based on what you know at the time. It doesn't necessarily work out. Sometimes leaders chase rabbits. Sometimes they forget what's important. But some leaders also become prideful, and they believe that because they set a policy that there's no discussion, doesn't matter what the outcome will be. But their policies could not ever be wrong, could they? But here's the deal. If that passage teaches you anything, let it teach you this. The people still have a voice. People can still affect change with their voice, and the people can still band together and make themselves known. Take note that in the story I just related that no one threatened the king. No one raised a finger to him. No one insulted him or renounced him as their leader. But they did say, "Enough is enough." And they chose to disobey and to call for sanity in the midst of the madness. And the people were willing to put their own names on the line. They stuck their necks out there, but they did it because they were loyal to the one who was being mistreated. They saw an injustice, and they would not sit idly by and be quiet. They spoke up. So here's my point. When we see really bad decisions in the realm of public policy, like shutting down businesses and churches during the pandemic, or mandating vaccinations or you lose your job, or teaching kids that they are privileged oppressors or hapless victims just because of the skin color God gave them, or when government grows itself in your tax dollars with no relief to the citizens, or like we saw with the issue of the wall, when the southern border is non-existent and millions are flooding across it illegally. For all of those reasons, and many more, it's incumbent upon the people to become what Thomas Jefferson described as a well-informed citizenry and to make our voices heard. And I'll tell you, man, based on what I read in 1 Samuel and what I saw with the flip-flop on the border wall, apparently making our voices heard can be very effective. Let's get her done, folks. It's amazing what'll happen when good folks speak up. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. There you have it. I love it. I love it when scripture is like applicable, isn't it? Isn't it amazing? I mean, that's a story from thousands of years ago. How applicable is that to today? Very much so, I'd say. Listen, if you see a bad thing, you're allowed to say it's a bad thing. And a leader should never get so entrenched in their policy positions that they can't ever acknowledge that maybe I need to do something different. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.